Welcome to another edition of American Exposé, and this is Thursday, the 27th of January, 2005. Melody, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Chris.
Oh, blessings. This is my friend and ally, Melody Cederstrom, from Discount Gold and Silver Trading Listeners. We're trying to make a go of it to try and work together in making this work, this broadcast, and her success as a Discount Gold and Silver Trading individual that runs and operates that company. And welcome to the broadcast, Melody.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate being here and letting me on your program.
My privilege. And I should be, you know, I get so wrapped up in doing broadcast and information, I keep forgetting to promote you as I should all the time. And this is my mistake, and I apologize.
Well, you know, Chris, you know, once in a while our minds will go on vacation, so.
Well,
and you do late night broadcasts, so, I mean, that's okay.
Well, it used to be later, and I'm glad we're doing this now, and certainly your directions it doesn't seem like people want to, with what's going on out there, want to invest like they should because of the way things are being driven. And as I talked about this afternoon in yesterday's paper, it right here it says, and this is highly predictable, even before we went over to invade after September 11, 2001, Afghanistan, it says the White House will project that this year's federal budget will hit $427 billion, and it's a record partly driven by wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's totally predictable. And so when you think about the prediction of that, and you think about what they have in mind for us as a people, you would think that it would be logical to back yourselves up with real money, because we aren't really playing with money except play money from the Federal Reserve.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And we have an administration now that doesn't know when to quit spending. And yes, the war is a major part of that budget. It adds, $80 or so billion to it. But we have major problems in all aspects of our economy. We have a trade deficit. You know, we have a real estate bubble working. We have so many different areas of our economy. We have the outsourcing of jobs. We have, people that are working two and three jobs. Jobs are not being created as they say. When jobs are created, they're the jobs that people need to work two or three jobs just to keep ahead. People are going without health insurance. They're going without, their dietary intake is less than what it used to be because the cost of food has been risen so greatly. And with wages going down, they can't afford to buy decent food, so you know they get on the potatoes and the beans and so forth. But I mean, there's so many different areas of this economy that, you're right, they have placed us in a position. They need to make us dependent, and in order to do that, they will break everybody, and they will take everything. And you know what? Everybody just falls right in. You know, the majority of the people out there, they just fall right into their little plan, right into their little scheme. And it amazes me that they do. Consumer confidence was up earlier this week. And our whole economy is based, you know, is actually being held up by their confidence. And what will break that confidence? I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. And not so much interesting. It will be a sad situation when that confidence is gone. And maybe in a way it'll be a good thing because they'll be waking up also at the same time.
Well, it's just hard to determine what the future holds, and yet real money holds its value and increases. You can't go wrong in investing in real money, and yet. The limited listenership that appears to be here doesn't seem to get the picture, and that's my concern.
Well, you know, people need to place gold in their portfolio just as they have their auto insurance, car insurance, and we use that example so many times, but it's the best example. Gold is an insurance policy for your wealth. It protects your assets when things go bad, when there's uncertainty in the world, where there's crises in the world, where there's currency problems in the world. Your gold will protect your purchasing power, just like your car insurance protects you when you have an accident, your house insurance, your life insurance. So it works in the same exact manner. And you do need to have a portion of your portfolio in gold, and it is so very important. Even, you know, people don't have to have a wealth of funds in order to begin. You can begin with purchasing, you know, a 10th ounce gold eagle. You can start by adding silver eagles into your portfolio, but you can begin. You don't have to think you have to be a millionaire in order to invest in gold and silver. And if you'd like to get your portfolio started, all you have to do is call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I was talking to a client earlier today, and he says, you know, he says, when I talk to gold people, he says, right away they want to tell me about what they are selling. They want me to buy just exactly what they are selling. I said, well, I'm a little bit different. I can't sell you anything or give you advice if I don't know what your budget is, because a lot of dealers out there try to fit everybody into the same square hole, and it doesn't work. First you have to find out what your budget is, and then you have to find out also what you already have, you know, what gold and silver holdings do you already have, and then we can start from there, and then we can start recommending different items that you can place in your portfolio. So, you know, we do take a different approach here. There are different gold products and different gold different silver products that do different things and fit differently in different people's portfolios.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very important to keep in mind that the future is not written in a pleasant atmosphere and thought for the people of this country and the people of the world as general thinking because of what's been engineered in the past. And I got into a big debate with my friend Jack tonight over a certain website that was promoting sustainable development, and you know, he's falling into this sustainable development direction too, and I keep telling him, you know, as the species are dying off supposedly, and I'm just saying we can't get to the bottom of any of this because here we've had promotions of the fact that HAARP is in place. HAARP heats up the atmosphere. HAARP creates, according to sources that research, creates weather anomalies that are unusual, and we've had aerial spraying all this time, and yet we're being told that mankind is the destructive factor in the loss of species. But you see, we can't get to the bottom of this, and we can't be fed the line and lie about Agenda 21 of sustainable development, because once we get into it, it's going to completely change everything we're used to. including toasters and ovens and things like this. They want us back to the Stone Age, basically. Ultimately, that's the direction that's being engineered for us. And the more people that listen and understand this and do their own research to find out, the better it's going to be. In the meantime, the economy could collapse at any time. I don't know whether they plan on doing that or not, but it seems like we've been living a Hegelian dialectic for the last century, and there's no reason for me to think otherwise in the 21st century that we live a Hegelian dialectic. And so to have the proper funding to back up yourself with, I think it's pretty vital.
Well, you know, I think gold is going to play a lot of different it's going to play in a lot of different scenarios in our future. I think it's going to play as a currency. It's going to be played as the world currency. Currency will be backed by gold. I believe when we're in this country and we are moving about to get to point A to point B, hey, you know, I think we'll be using it just like they did in Germany to get around. So we'll be using it as a, you know, whoever's MPs are there to pay, so it'll be a way for protection. I think it'll be used for bartering. So I think gold is going to play a very major part in our future, and you should be prepared for whatever situation that might arise. And that's the whole thing, and that's the whole key. And everybody can say, well, you know, if we get to that point, who cares, and blah, blah. Well, you should care. You need to care, because when that time happens, it'll be too late to do anything. And so many times we look at ourselves, we prepare for ourselves, but a lot of it, you have families. Maybe those families don't believe today what might happen in tomorrow, but if you prepare for yourself, you also need to prepare for your family and maybe for other people that you might be able to help along the way, no matter what situation that we're in. Mm-hmm. And like I said, gold will play a very important part in many, many different ways. And gold will also perform. We might see gold rise prior to a lot of these things happening. So you get the benefit of a profit of an investment. So there's many different aspects when you look at gold. And there's a reason why gold has been the monetary metal since the beginning of time. So it's not going to go away. The New World Order and all the elitists, they're not going to write it off. It's there for a reason. It's there. They own it. And so few of us own it. And if you're one that don't own it, you better get some.
Good point. And that number, listeners, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Are we going to air the second hour tonight on WBCQ?
I'm going to have WBCQ pick you up, but I probably will not be able to join you at that point in time.
Okay, I'll be sure to promote.
All righty. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Melody.
Good night now.
Bye-bye. 800-375-4188 is the number for Melody Cederstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 800-375-4188. They're counting down the days to entry into force of the Kyoto Protocol. It's down to 20 now. It's on their website, United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. We're going to get Darren to get that up there as soon as he's able to do so. It's just amazing how this engineering process is being done. We'll cover that as I can tonight. Also, according to Dave, that sent to me from an individual who I can't disclose his name because I don't have his permission to do so. But this individual says, I rarely ask anyone, this is Dave, to make calls on political issues, but this issue is just too important to all citizens of Virginia not respond to. The folks in the State House of Representatives are trying to push a bill through the House and into a law that would take all vitamins, minerals, and supplements off the shelves of our stores and shops, etc., as well as legally receiving them in the mail. The only way that you would be able to get the vitamins that you need would be by prescription only through a licensed dietitian. He understands that the final hearing on this bill is scheduled for the 2nd of February, and it's HB 455. I did a legislative search on HB 455, and apparently it's not available because the government printing office said to me that they didn't have it yet. I don't know what the deal is on HB 455. He said when he called, he was asked if this was the nutrition bill, and he replied, yes. You may get the same question for ID or IDing the bill. Please let them know that you are against the passing of this bill. We all ask that you send or give this to as many residents of Virginia as you can. Evidently, this is just in Virginia. I don't know what to say. HB 455 is the number that was sent to me here, and certainly I know this is going to be a national issue. I don't know what the bill is on that, but we need to concentrate on this. And for people to think that the UN system does not have population reduction in their minds, these people at the top, these people that are nameless because they stay in the shadows, so to speak, really they haven't done their homework to understand what this is all about. And we've got this 20th century to learn by. We've got Vietnam and Korea to learn by. We've got the Middle East mess to learn by right now. So it's most unfortunate. Last Thursday, I promised that I would continue with Thomas Bearden's information. The tsunami man eventuated, and it was dated January 3rd. I neglected to remember to do that because I got so wrapped up into this Kyoto Protocol. And so tonight, without any further ado, I'm going to pass this on and pick it up right where I left off. And you'll have to pick up last Thursday's show, as it'll be available soon. And I'm just going to pick it up where we left off by Thomas Bearden. I'm on page 11 of 17, so we covered the first 11 pages last Thursday night. He says, note that all major Japanese companies and the Japanese government are also strongly penetrated by the Japanese Yakuza. If one is dealing with large Japanese companies, one is dealing with the Yakuza, whether one knows it or not. The new asymmetric super war plan was to use the Yakuza as the main combatants, since they were thrusting for the role where they must destroy all living Americans or they are still shamed beyond toleration. Also, this change of plans and change of action agents from Russians to Yakuza moved beneath the U.S. intelligence insight, which was rather comfortably assessed the Yakuza as being a more normal mafia interested in dope, prostitution, etc. In short, this way, the entire new strategic threat plan for an increased asymmetric super war was missed by our own intelligence agencies and analysis. And so our leaders have not had the necessary information to properly formulate countermeasures, and they have not done so. Simply check out the mess still in Homeland Defense. The real war will be fought right here inside the United States with nuclear explosions in our cities, anthrax attacks, tsunamis induced on East and West coasts, etc. On the other hand, simultaneously, the U.S. dragon is being unmercifully drained economically. The dollar is plummeting, presaging the coming collapse. The national debt has had to be raised again and trillions added to. Jobs have been bled out like a hemorrhaging, and even customer service for many U.S. companies now is done remotely by contracted India technicians, etc. It was no attack ongoing. We're in an energy crunch that is escalating relentlessly and will continue to do so. Cheap oil has peaked, and most of our very limited refinery capabilities are set for the better light sweet crude and not capable of refining the rougher oil. The energy demands of China are growing by leaps and bounds, and China has just signed a deal with Russia for partial ownership and interest in the Russian oil. There went the source of cheap oil. China has declared the South China Sea its own territorial waters, and some 60% of the oil for Japan goes right through there. The oil from Iraq continues to be curtailed severely by continual sabotage of pipelines, causing economic problems there for the U.S. to secure Iraq and allow transition to a peaceful government. Double the U.S. troops there now are required. That isn't going to happen. The Iraqi forces are still ill-equipped, far too small, etc. In planning the war on Iraq, Rumsfeld was told that he needed many more troops for the occupation. The Iraqi army could be defeated by 100,000 troops, but many more than that would be required to maintain and enforce order afterward. He fired the U.S. Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army for staging such a requirement. So Iraq was not secured and will not be sufficiently secured in the foreseeable future. Troubles and insurrections will mount and rise again. It will bleed the dragon. We have continuing difficulties with Iran acquiring nuclear weapons capability by enriching uranium, etc. The Russians helped build Iran's best nuclear facilities. North Korea is into nuclear weapons development also. Pakistan and India already have such weapons. Even before the first Gulf War, the Germans sold Saddam Hussein their most advanced calotrons, some of the finest centrifuges on Earth. And so Saddam was already making weapons-grade uranium when the first Gulf War occurred. Indeed, in the first few calutrons we succeeded in capturing at the end of the war, weapons-grade U-235 residues were specifically present, showing exactly what those centrifuges had been used for during the time from the Gulf War to our invasion of Iraq. Those calotrons were somewhere out of Iraq, supposedly in Syria, etc., and they were steadily running, producing weapons-grade U-235. So the capability of other 36 nuclear weapons, once again, the capability of another 36 nuclear weapons has been placed in the hands of the terrorists by those calotrons and that program. With Saddam Hussein captured, the weapons-grade U-235 is probably in the hands of Syrians, and they will definitely not hesitate to dispose of some to Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, etc. China has inserted some 200,000 Chinese into Panama and can control the ends of the Panama Canal at will if the insertion continues. Panama will eventually become a province of China. China and Russia have now signed both an oil agreement and a military agreement, and joint Russian-Chinese military exercises are to be conducted in China this year, 2005. After that, watch for China to move on Taiwan and invade the island, which we are treaty-bound to aid and protect. North Korea can easily be triggered into moving on South Korea. Afghanistan and Iraq will increase in troubles and difficulties, and we are already long since stretched out of troops and forces. Incidents between Pakistan and India are rather easily provoked, as are additional inner conflicts in Iraq between Sunnis and Shiites, etc. So it's bleed the dragon time, with the U.S. increasingly stretched out all over the globe and beginning to hemorrhage economically and head toward severe economic difficulties. That will increase dramatically over the next 2 years as part of the plan to first initiate a total catastrophic collapse of the U.S. economy, generating utter chaos and disorder throughout the entire nation, and even starvation. We haven't yet seen homeless on the street to the extent we are going to see it right here in the U.S. The revision plan is to enter the operations phase by 2005. That has been done. And then gradually start destructive operations against the U.S. One ingredient of the plan is to gradually destroy the centralized electrical power system of the U.S., which will start slowly and increase and culminate 2 years from now. that is supposed to cause a catastrophic collapse of the U.S. economy with utter chaos and paralysis, particularly when combined with anthrax and smallpox strikes in our cities, nuclear explosions, etc. At that point, with the U.S. totally prostrate, the Yakuza is to extract its long-sought total vengeance and methodically destroy all remaining Americans, every last man, woman, and child. Induction of tsunamis against the U.S. East and West coasts are to be used also. The preliminary practice and testing of this, or is the large tsunamis induced in the Indonesia and surrounding area. More will be produced, both there and elsewhere in the world. It is already noted that seismic activity is increasing in general worldwide. Russian scientists have been, Russian scientists have just predicted the probable occurrence of tsunamis against South America. Piece of cake. And I covered that information recently as well, as I interject. To further ensure this strategic capability to destroy the U.S., a few weeks ago, Yakuza scalar interferometers precision registered on the Yellowstone supervolcano underneath Yellowstone National Park. By erupting that supervolcano, it will hurl out more ash, dust, dirt, rocks, and debris, and a little lava. Then the entire Grand Canyon can hold. That will completely destroy some 60 to 70% of North America. That's a conservative estimate. With some 18 inches to 2 meters of ash on the ground, up to 1,500 to 1,800 kilometers distance. That gets most of the population, most of the human population, the higher life forms, destroys the crops, and induces a follow-on global winter. And I'll stop right there. But the point is, the fact that the statement of these endangered species and blaming it on the human beings in order to curtail greenhouse gas emissions is just a front to destroy the economy of this country, of all the industrialized countries. It's just a front move to destroy industrialized economies. I wish people would get the point in place. I'll be back.
Listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Why is a daddy long legs not a real spider? Find out on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
What if 8 legs, fangs, ridges on its underside, and is one of the creeping things that God created? No, it's not a spider, it's a daddy long legs. More than just the ridges on the underside have set the daddy long legs apart from the spiders. Spiders have 2 body sections, while the daddy long legs has only one. Under a microscope, you would find that while the spider's fangs have 2 sections, the fangs of the daddy long legs have 3 sections. God has also given the daddy long legs some very special abilities to protect itself. When it is attacked, it is most likely to be grabbed by one of its long legs, but its legs detach quite easily. A young daddy long legs will be able to regrow the missing leg while still getting around quite easily on the other 7. It has very good eyesight, while those eyes are placed on the top of its body so that it can better see attackers. Most attackers are likely to come from above. And the daddy long legs can also spray a nasty smelling gas to protect itself. God made 3 varieties of daddy long legs and gave this insect the important job of cleaning the forest floor of dead insects and decaying vegetation. Death and decay are the result of sin. So God must have anticipated Adam's sin and created the daddy long legs, one of the creeping things, just before he created Adam.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
And once again, this is Thomas Bearden's dissertation about the future, and I thought it should be heard. Not able to verify much of what he's saying, but I thought you should hear it. And I promised to do it on Tuesday, last Thursday, as I started it out on the second hour. And now I've brought it back to you this Thursday, the following Thursday. Recall in 1997, the U.S. Secretary of Defense already publicly confirmed that the terrorists, the quote-unquote terrorists, were in fact performing such operations, meaning controlling the weather and climate, inducing earthquakes, and initiating volcanoes into eruption. It is a fact. So as of late last year, 2004, the FSB/KGB, and that's the Federal Security Bureau, I believe, which is changed its name from the KGB to the FSB. Diehard communist coordinators decided that the insertion phase was complete and ordered the Yakuza into the operations phase. First demonstration operation test was apparently the giant test tsunamis generated in Indonesia and everywhere or in elsewhere by the 9.0 quake at the bottom of the sea in that area. The death toll is still rising and may exceed 200,000, and it has already, people. It has exceeded 200,000 now. When the additional disease toll is added, the toll may easily reach a 500,000 dead. Seismic activity in the area continues, and so the end of that exercise may not yet have occurred. Note that such incidents at other locations also will stretch the U.S. even further, with increasing relief equipment, troops, money, and supplies, etc. Of course, it all focuses on the attention, once again, of course, it all focuses the attention of the international community, the UN and everyone, on the calamities and relief operations rather than upon the war actually being waged. Very nice little strategic defense deception plan. The Indonesia test showed the level of skill and training of the Yakuza scalar interferometer operators. They are also active elsewhere seismically. Simply check out the increased seismic activity worldwide. Importantly, Russian scientists have predicted just such tsunamis may occur in South America. In other words, move the test into the western part of the world, while sustaining some shocks and incidents in the Indonesia area. So our scientists and intelligence agencies just assume increased natural seismic activity is occurring. Continue to ensure that we are asleep as to the artificial induction of these phenomena, even though CDEF or Secretary of Defense Cohen specifically warned us in 1997. But our intelligence agencies and news media are still very much asleep at the wheel. Anyway, usually when an insertion phase of asymmetric war is completed successfully and professionally, then the defeat of the targeted nation and populace is essentially inevitable unless the terrorists are utter fools. Presently, it appears that, with one proviso, we have reached that point. With the new intelligence reorganization, our new struggles for turf and importance and mission, etc., our intelligence groups will be substantially handicapped with internal struggles for the next year or two, precisely during the time they are most needed to be integral and highly functional. They won't be. So they are not going to rid themselves of all those electrical engineer analysis, and they will just continue to shove aside the real intelligence information showing what is really coming down, even right in the midst of it happening. Heck, our vaunted intelligence agencies still have not deciphered the actual bioenergetics mechanism used by the Soviets to generate health changes and diseases in embassy personnel in decades of irradiation of the U.S. embassy, etc. After half a century, the clever Russians put the, quote, disease engines, end quote, inside the stable potentials, which means that in the areas of disease induction, there were no fields, which are just changes in potentials. In short, there were no changes in potentials. So our guys, still practicing a semi-science that started out erroneously, believing potentials were not even real, and that force fields in matter are primary causes, just assumed that it could not be the microwave radiation causing the disease, since there were no fields present. Actually, their own experimental results had already falsified their conclusion that the EM radiation was not responsible. Had it not been responsible, then disease changes would have occurred both where fields were present and fields were absent, without regards to for the fields. And that was not what happened at all. So our entire system, science, government, industry, the works, failed to exhibit even elementary logical deduction and has continued to do so since then. Indeed, our intel agencies and analysts do not even know that Russian energetics, the extremely classified old Soviet and now Russian FSB KGB weapons science, really is. We do not have EM science and engineering technology that deals with and uses the force-free EM precursor fields and potentials actually existing in space. Instead, our guys first convert to the effect of the interaction of the real EM fields and potentials, where those reaction effects are with static charged matter, just willy-nilly assumed to be present. In short, we still have not grasped the real EM causes in nature, but continue to chase the initial effects in charged static matter of those interacting primary causes, without understanding the primary causes at all. And all our present EM practice has been known to be in error since 1916, now for nearly a century. We still do not use the Whitaker decomposition of all EM fields and potentials into harmonic sets of biodirectional longitudinal wave EM energy flows, even though Whitaker showed that in 1903 and 1904. In short, we are still not using nature's more fundamental electrodynamics, that is, quote, total internal, end quote, inside EM fields and potentials, consulting them. Hence, the straightforward use of, quote, deliberate engine structures, end quote, of such internal electrodynamics is unknown to the West. Though used directly in the old Soviet energetics, attack against inert matter systems and their fields, bioenergetics, attack against living biological bodies and their biofields and biopotentials, and psychoenergetics, attack against living minds and their time-polarized EM dynamics and time-polarized EM fields and protons. Indeed, the Russians, the FSB, KGB, can now actually produce a living human mind, or a fraction of one, in the laboratory. And they have done so, and have tested it on real human beings rather dramatically. Captain Button, Svoboda, and Hess being prime examples, which still have never been understood by our intel and scientific analysts. So we have now entered the final operations phase of the long asymmetrical superpower against us. The operations phase is scheduled for the next 3 years, with the critical U.S. destruction point reached 2 years from now. The plan is to initiate increasing damage to our infrastructure here in the U.S., keep us increasingly drawn out and overextended outside the U.S., to increase bleeding us economically, then initiate a total economic collapse 2 years from now with the final destruction of the centralized energy infrastructure, electrical power, refineries, pipelines, control and distribution systems, power plants, etc. There are, however, several other nations who have such energetics weapons also. One of them in particular has been saving our collective butts repeatedly for decades. Twice in 1997 alone, once in the end of 1999, and the first few days of 2000. Hopefully now they can also once again counter the bad guys and save us. That, of course, remains to be seen. One thing is for certain, during the next 3 years, we shall decidedly be living in interesting times, as the Chinese so wirily put it. So that was Thomas Bearden's dissertation about the future to a fellow named Jack. And I just thought you should hear it, listeners. I just thought you should hear it. And the structure in place, the mess going on, the directions being engineered for us. Oh, man, it's just so obvious to me what I'm seeing, and most aren't. And that is most imperative to keep in mind, that we aren't getting the truth about much of anything. And things don't make sense. What's right is wrong and wrong is right. That's been going on for a few decades. And we see here in yesterday's paper, White House will project that this year's federal deficit will hit $427 billion, a senior administration official said Tuesday, a record partly driven by wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I received this from Dennis, a global gulag to hide the war on terror's dirty secrets. I just received this. Bush is now thinking of building jails abroad to hold suspects for life, apparently coming from The Guardian, dated January 14th. The premise of imminent release for four British detainees held at the notorious U.S. prison in Guantanamo Bay is obviously welcome, but it is only a tiny exception in the surge of bad news from the Bush team on the human rights front. The first days of the new year have produced new shocking exposures already. One is the revelation that the administration sees the U.S. not just as a self-appointed global policeman, but also the world's prison warden. It is thinking of building jails in foreign countries, mainly ones with grim human rights records, to which it can secretly transfer detainees, unconvicted by any court, for the rest of their lives. A kind of global gulag beyond the scrutiny of the international community, of the Red Cross, or any other independent observers or lawyers. The other horror is the light shown on the views of Alberto Gonzalez, the White House nominee to be the chief law officer, the Attorney General, at his Senate confirmation hearing last week, he was revealed to be a man who not only refuses to rule out torture under any circumstances, but also, in his capacity as White House counsel over the past few years, chaired several meetings at which specific interrogation techniques were discussed. As Senator Edward Kennedy pointed out, and Gonzalez did not deny, they included the threat of burial alive and waterboarding, under which the detainee is strapped to a board, forcibly pushed underwater, wrapped in a wet towel, and made to believe he could drown. Since its establishment after 9/11, the U.S. camp for foreigners at Guantanamo Bay has become a beacon of unfreedom, a kind of grisly competitor to the Statue of Liberty in the shop front of authentic American images. The trickle of releases of prisoners from its cages has brought direct testimony of the horrors which go on there. So it is no wonder that the Bush administration would like to find less visible places to hold prisoners and keep them there forever so that they cannot tell the world. The Guantanamo prisoners are held by the Department of Defense, but under the new scheme, most foreign detainees are expected to be in the hands of the CIA, which submits to less congressional scrutiny and offers the Red Cross no access. They include hundreds of people who have been arrested in recent weeks in Fallujah and other Iraqi cities. According to the Washington Post, which broke the story last week, one proposal is to have the U.S. build new prisons in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. Officials of those countries would run the prisons and would have to allow the State Department to, quote, monitor human rights compliance, end quote. It is a laughable proposition, since the whole purpose of the exercise is to minimize security. CIA agents would have the right to question the detainees with or without the aid of foreign interrogators, as they already do at other off-limits prisons in Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, on ships at sea in Jordan and Egypt, and at Diego Garcia. The U.S. policy of lending detainees to other countries' jailers and torturers, known as rendition, began during the war on drugs as a way of arresting alleged Latin American narco barons and softening them up for the trial in the U.S. What happened to Manuel Noriega, by the way, as I interject? It has been expanded enormously under the war on terror. As one CIA officer told the Washington Post, quote, the whole idea has become a corruption of renditions. It's not rendering to justice, it's kidnapping, end quote. He could have added that it's kidnapping for life. A senior U.S. official told the New York Times last week that three-quarters of 550 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay no longer have any intelligence of value, but they will not be released out of concern that they pose a continuing threat to the U.S. Quote, you are basically keeping them off the battlefield, and, unfortunately, in the war on terrorism, the battlefield is everywhere, end quote, he said. Since the attack on Fallujah, the U.S. holds 325 non-Iraqis in custody, many of them Syrians and Saudis. Questioned by the Senate's Judiciary Committee, Gonzalez said that the Justice Department believes that non-Iraqis captured in Iraq are not protected by the Geneva Conventions, which prevent prisoners being transferred out of the country in which they are held. It was revealed last year that Donald Rumsfeld, the U.S. Defense Secretary, had approved the secret holding of ghost detainees in Iraq. They were kept off the registers that were shown to the Red Cross and therefore lost the chance of being visited or having other rights. Now, many new prisoners will be candidates for a deeper category of invisibility by being sent for detention in secret locations abroad. While making bland statements during the Senate appearance that he found torture abhorrent, Gonzalez gave no clear assurance that its practice would stop. As White House counsel, he approved an administrative memorandum against torture in August 2002, which was so narrow that it appeared to define it only as treatment that led to dying under torment. That's, quote, dying under torment, end quote. In other words, if a victim survived, he could not have been tortured. The memo also claimed that torture only occurs when the intent is to cause pain. If pain is intentionally used to gain information or a confession, that is not torture. Thanks to this narrow definition of what is forbidden, U.S. officials have been systematically using inhumane treatment on prisoners, far beyond the few so-called bad apples exposed by the photographs from Abdul Ghareb, while saying it did not amount to torture. A few days before Gonzalez's Senate hearings, the Justice Department hastily rewrote the memo so that a wider category of techniques are defined as torture and thereby prohibited. But at the hearings, Gonzalez's refused to give a clear negative answer to the question whether, in his view, American troops or interrogators could legally engage in torture under any circumstances. One of the glories of the hearings was the appearance of Douglas Johnson, director of the Center for Victims of Torture. He argued that the new memo fails to give clear guidance on what the appropriate standards for interrogation and detention are. He also pointed out that torture does not yield reliable information and corrupts its perpetrators. Psychological torture was more damaging than physical torture, he said. Interviews with victims show that depression and recurrent nightmares decades later more often relate to memories of mock executions of the waterboarding type and scenarios of humanitarian than to actual physical abuse. But these points might have impressed the man Bush wants to have as America's top law officer is not to be expected. Nor does anyone in Washington expect the Senate to refuse to confirm him for the job. Happy New Year on Terror, 2005. And that's a sad commentary about Alberto Gonzalez. What is he? He's a NAFTA proponent. He's a big believer in the North America Free Trade Agreement. He's a believer in the FTAA. He's a yes man for the UN system and everything that goes along with that. So connecting all these dots is not very difficult at this point in time. We are messed up in this UN system to a degree that we don't even know. We have the education in school with model UN classrooms going on a daily basis. Here we see Stormy Weather by Bob Fertakis and Fritz Chess, dated December 6, 2001. Let's see where this takes us. With the grounding of virtually all civilian air flights in the immediate aftermath of the September 11 terrorist attacks, the bizarre speculation about what's happening in North American airspace heightened. Columbus Alive received numerous citizen reports concerning airplanes spraying or leaving behind mysterious chemtrails or contrail grids in the sky. Some feared we were under biochemical attack, while others postulated we were being inoculated against anthrax or some other biochemical hazard. This comes from, once again, Columbus Alive, 2001, December 6. During a flight to Phoenix in early October, a Columbus Alive reporter noted that air traffic was like a nest of hornets over southeast Ohio and Indiana, with jets spraying everywhere. One plane appeared to be a Boeing KC-135 Stratotanker, a refueling plane. What's the difference between a chemtrail and a normal contrail or vapor trail? The wisps of condensation you expect to see in a jet's wake. Typically, contrails can only form at temperatures below negative 75 degrees Fahrenheit and at humidity levels of 70% or more at high altitudes, according to National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration meteorologist Thomas escalates. Even in most ideal conditions, a jet contrail lasts more than 30 minutes. Once again, even in most ideal conditions, a jet contrail lasts no more than 30 minutes. So what are the big bilious trails that seem to hang indefinitely and slowly feather out and appear to turn into cirrus clouds? Or the contrails seemingly purposely sprayed over cities in geometrically precise grid patterns? These are chemtrails, and the mystery of their source and purpose has been fueling increasingly speculation among government skeptics and on watchdog websites like ChemtrailCentral.com, Chemtrail.com, and Carnicom.com. For the past decade, the official government response to inquiries about the jet contrails appearing across the continent is to attribute the phenomenon to increased commercial air traffic. In 1997, the Christian Science Monitor reported the government's claim that the jet contrails are actually causing clouds to form. We'll continue with this and get on to the Kyoto Protocol some more, because I know you're not hearing it anywhere else. Counting down to 20 days until it comes into force. What will that mean to the industrial countries? I'll be back. Second hour is about to begin.